we are God's children, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Scraping off the junk that was hindering Job was imperative in order for Job to be who he was called to be. His wife couldn't do it for him. I mean, she was directing him in the wrong direction. His friends, they betrayed him. They said, man, if you are such a godly man, why is this happening to you? You're not so godly. You've got hidden sin. God is cursing you. So all these people couldn't do it for him, but he knew that God could. And he knew that the power of God would be manifest when he took his initiative in his faith and stepped out in faith. The only thing that could sustain him was his faith and his belief in what God said versus what he felt and what he experienced. Job said this in Job 42, verse 2, I know that you can do anything and or everything, and no purpose of yours, God, can be held from you. No matter what I experience, I trust you, God. Nothing can thwart your purpose for my life, even the junk that I'm experiencing. If you're here this morning and you're hurting, you are not alone. Listen, this week has been one of the crappiest weeks that I've ever experienced. Not just because of my own problems, but because of the problems that people are hurting with. They hurt, it makes me hurt, and I have no other choice but to pray and to lift them up to God. So I'm gonna give you three things real quick. What time is it? That was a long front porch. Three things from the original text that we looked at, which was in John, and I wanna talk about how we can experience help in the midst of our hurt. Number one, we need to release our fears. We need to release or let go of the fears that are really inside of us. The context of the verses that we read in John, to understand what precipitated, or caused these words, we have to go back to chapter 13. Jesus, and again, context is very important, Jesus and his disciples, having just finished observing the Passover supper, that's the context of what's going on in the chapter 4. They enjoyed a pleasant meal. Afterwards, Jesus takes a towel, remember, and he proceeds to do what? He washes the disciples' feet. And he shows that even though he's the King of Kings, he is willing to get his hands dirty for lost people, for sinners who are far away from God. And afterwards, Jesus takes a towel. Okay, he does that. He teaches servanthood to his disciples. After these things are done and are completed, Jesus proceeds to drop a major bombshell to his followers. He gives them some news that don't sound real good. Problematic news in their minds. He tells them that he's going to be betrayed, and not only is he going to be betrayed, but it's going to be by one of them. So you can imagine what's going through their minds. This can't be, it's not me, it can't happen. And so he also tells them that he's going to go away. When he says that I'm going to go away, he's literally saying that I am going to experience death and I am leaving this world physically. They're going to kill me. And it's necessary for the purpose that God has sent me. And so this is what's going on. And so as they learn this horrific news in chapter 13, look at verses 36 and 38, they find out that Peter's also going to be one who denies them, which probably just rattles them even more. What Jesus was saying to his disciples were words that naturally must have broken their hearts. Their God, their Savior, the one that they walked around with for 3.5 years was telling them that I'm leaving. They're going to kill me, even though I'm God, and it's necessary. And these people, the disciples, it didn't sit well with them, as it shouldn't have, but they didn't understand the whole gravitude of what Jesus was saying, and so there was a reason. And it's amazing to me how shocked we get, or we are, when we find ourselves in hard times, when the Bible tells us this. Listen, John 16:33 says this, That means we who are in Christ, those who have trusted in Jesus for salvation and have faith in God, will or shall have tribulation. Not maybe, you will. The more you follow God, the more problems you'll experience, but it won't be a problem that he can't get you through. And he will show himself glorious in the midst of doing that. In order for that to happen, we have to release our fears. We have to give those things to God and leave those things with God and stop trying to come back and pick them up and say, what's going on with this? Why is it this? Leave it with God and trust him. That takes faith. If something is hurting us so much that it's literally beginning to kill us, I mean, I've been hurt before, but have you ever been hurt to the point where you feel like you're gonna, it's killing you. It's killing the life inside of you. You just wanna curl up and just cease to exist. But if you're experiencing that, let me give you a solution. Let me give you what God wants you to have in the midst of your situation. We're not called upon, I don't believe, to sit idly while our lives and or our brother and sister in Christ's lives go down the toilet. I don't think that's godly. I think if we see something that's going to allow us to be who God called us to be, that we ought to intercede and lift one another up, ourselves included. So we do have to do something. God initiates salvation. He is the one who initiates that, but we do have to respond to God. And the best plan of escape for fears is this, to let go and give them to God. Now, how are we going to do this? Number two, embrace faith. Look at verse 1. The word believe is a life-altering word. The word believe means to think to be true, to be persuaded from one thing to another, to have confidence in something. Literally, the word means to exercise faith in someone or in something. Faith is defined in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 as this. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will eventually or actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. In our text, the verse speaks on the subject of faith in the verses that we've read, but two specific types of faith. And I want you to see this. It talks about a sustaining faith, or a faith that will allow you to get through the problems of life on an everyday, continual basis. Look at the words, you believe in God. You believe in God deals with our sustaining faith, the faith that we have every day from the time that we meet Him and through and out the daily circumstances and experience that we have. This kind of faith will bring you through the valleys. It will show you the light in the midst of darkness. It works. This is the kind of faith that believes that God exists and that He is in absolute control of everything, and because of that being the fact, that we can just bank that He's got it. Amen? And we don't have to worry about anything. When it comes to God, we can have faith in God. He's not going to let us down. He will not fail us. We can bank on His word. We can bank on His promises. People will let you down. Situations will let us down. Circumstance certainly will let us down, but God will never leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says. And that ought to encourage you, no matter what you're facing here and now today. If we can ever learn to trust God completely, no matter what we experience, without reservation or hesitation, then it will be done through the avenue of our personal faith. That's how it's done. That's how God designed it. And I love what Philip Yancey says about faith. It's great. I love it. He says, faith is believing in advance what only seems logical in reverse. Believing in advance only what seems logical in reverse. That's what faith is. It's trusting God. It's banking on what He says versus what we feel. So there's a sustaining faith, but there's also a saving faith that's mentioned here. Look at the words, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Christ can't sustain you through faith if you don't have faith in Christ. So the source of our faith comes from the child of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice that He made on our part. Christ can sustain you only through the faith that you have in Christ. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of our hearts and He is gently knocking. He's not busting down the door. He is gently knocking, and He wants you to willingly let Him in. That's what the Bible says. And so, you know, we have this responsibility. If we're going to get through problems, we got to have faith. And not only do we have faith every day, we've got to have the faith that will get us through each day. And that faith comes from Jesus Christ and our personal relationship with Him. And here's something else. It isn't enough just to believe intellectually. The Bible says even the demons believe and they tremble. So you can intellectually believe God, but if you haven't confessed who you are and who He is and asked Christ to save you from your sins, you are not connected. You are not in Christ. You are separated from God and you are still in your sins. And here's the thing. It's not an intellectual, educational type thing. It's a heartfelt thing. It's something that can only happen inside of you. It can only happen between you and God. I can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your parents can't. It can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, that I already said that. To be saved, the person must believe. We understand that the gospel message has always been simple. We're a wreck. We're in need of help. The only help that we could ever have that would sustain everything that we deal with is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. In John chapter 14, verse 6, God said it specifically, says, look, I am the way, this is Jesus speaking, I am the truth and I am the life. No one can come to God the Father except through me, the Son. Specifically, that's how we experience a saving faith. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, the last point, is envision the future. Pay attention to the future. In your midst of struggle, in the midst of your problems, don't get stuck on the problem. Don't get stuck on what's already happened. Focus on the future. And let me just say this, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have a beautiful future to focus on. It's glorious. It may not be glorious on this side of eternity, but we know we're on the winning side, amen? As a Savior and as a child of God, I get to experience in the inheritance of God. And that's a part of my future. Look at verses 2 and 3 in our text. We can't let here and now sometimes distract us from the bigger picture. Listen, the Bible says that we are strangers just passing through. This is not our home. That we're foreigners in a strange country. We're only here for a little while. We understand that the Bible says that, you know, life is like a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. In comparison to eternity, our lives are nothing. Just a speck on the map. And so we have to understand that our future, can help us. It really can encourage us to push through the problems that we face with in life. What do we think about when we think about our future? Naturally, I think, you know, we probably think about retirement, money, health, family, finances, where we're going to live. We ought to be thinking about death, because let me tell you something, every single one of us here are going to die. Ain't nobody getting away from that. So you better be thinking about where you're going when you die. That's one thing you better be thinking about your future. But in reference to the text that we looked at, it includes a precious place. Notice the terms that Jesus used. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know about mansions. I'm not that guy. And back in the day, I used to get excited back when I was a kid because heaven was going to be this great place with gold streets and mansions and all this stuff. I could care less about the stuff anymore. I just want to be in the presence of Jesus. I could care less that the streets are made of gold, and that's just showing the glory of our God. But listen, if you're in Christ, you have been guaranteed a precious place in heaven. We need to remember that we're not home yet. No matter what we're experiencing here and now, it will pass. It will go. While troubles and trials we face are a part of this earthly life and our earthly existence, they will not follow us into eternity. If we're in Jesus Christ, amen? Praise God that he's a God that takes the burdens that we have and allows us to be motivated according to his will. If you are God's and you belong to him, then we are referred to again as strangers. And so we have to understand that we're just passing through. This is just temporary. You say, Pastor Steve, it's hard. And I say, I know. I deal with it myself. But I can say this, I might not be able to explain why here and now, but I can definitely tell you after here and now, it gets a lot better. Because there's not the presence of sin, the absence of sin. There are going to be no more problems. No matter how hard things get, it's not going to matter in the long run. It's not going to matter. This place is also a prepared place. Jesus said, God in human form, I go and prepare a place for you. It's me who has the authority. I set it up. This world and all of its wonders that are contained within it were made by God in just 6 days. Everything that we see, even our bodies, everything that works in the universe, God made it in 6 days. Now think about this for a moment. God says, I'm about to leave you guys, and I'm going. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And that preparing is a continual thing. He's constantly preparing this place for us. And so look at this. It took 6 days for him to create everything that we know. Think about what heaven's going to be like. If it only took God 6 days to create everything, and 2000, Jesus was making this statement over 2,000 years ago, if you look at the timeline, think about of the fact that if it took 6 days for him to create everything that we see in all of its splendor, can you even imagine if 2,000 and some years ago he started preparing a place and he's continuing to prepare a place? How glorious is it going to be? It's going to be crazy. And I don't believe our feeble and our depraved minds can even comprehend the glory that will be revealed, but it will be revealed. So focus on our future. The last thing includes our powerful promise. Look at what he says at the end. Look, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back. I'm coming back. Old Testament people waited for the coming Messiah, the prepared lamb. After the New Testament, we look back towards the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. But we also are in a state right now of waiting for his return. And I don't know about you, but looking from the problems of this world, the more and more I see what's going on in the world, the more and more I see that in reference to scriptural, Jesus is on his way. Now, the Bible says no one knows the time, no one knows the hour, and so there'll be speculations, but I can just tell you, the things that he mentions during end times that will set themselves up are being set up right now. And our purpose and our mission is very important. And we can't allow the problems, people, things that are out of our control to stifle us from getting the gospel out to people who need life. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I'm hurting here this morning. I'm not going to lie to you. I've got problems, and I've been praying and giving these to God, and I've been trying every day. I woke up this morning tempted to want to look at the problem. But before I did, I said, God, I'm not going to even look at the problem. I'm going to lift this up to you. And I'm going to trust that when I give it to you, I'm going to leave it with you, and I'm going to trust you to work it out. And that's when you feel the antidote working. When you can let go of something and give it to somebody who can do something about it and say, I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's peace. That's something spiritual that can happen, and God can do that. Father God, I pray this morning that as we close this service, I pray for the ones that are hurting here this morning, God. We've got a lot of hurts going on in our church. God, there's things that I can't do to fix things, and I know that you are a God that can do anything. So, God, we lift every problem, every person, every situation, every circumstance that we're facing that's causing us to doubt, be angry, want to throw in the towel. I pray that you would just comfort us, Lord. Fill us with your presence and fill us with your truths and speak to our hearts and help us to know, God, that you have us. There's nothing that can separate us from your love, not even death itself. So help us to look towards you in our saving faith, but help us to rely on you in our sustaining faith. God, I pray that you would allow other people to see that, man, we're not a people that don't have problems. We just know the answer to the problem. And help us to be a testimony to somebody else that they might be exposed to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.